been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
Hero. I've been there. Hero.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
Just as the senator said, trying to make tomorrow a little bit better than today. Now it's not just Senator Crowell, it's Commissioner Crowell on the big state tax increase commission.
Yeah, who else was on that? Who else was it?
Lamping. That guy from Pricewaterhouse, who, by the way, that's the voice of 2016 Podcast Co-host of the Year, Becky Thurman, finally passed along. Thank you so much for joining us.
You know, I thought I was going to quit this week, but with our special guest, I'm coming back. That's what keeps me coming back.
And she's, of course, referencing former Representative Jeremy LaFavor from Kansas City. Welcome back, sir.
Good to be back. Thank you guys for having me.
I got to say, I mean, a lot of people around here are like, gosh, that Greg Razor is so much better than LaFavor. I stick up for you, but some people...
Oh, you can only do so much to defend him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got your back, but other people such as Becky and podcast executive producer Ben Peters, they talk some smack, but I've got your back.
I appreciate that, Scott, and I got to be honest with you, it doesn't surprise me. The other day, I was home, and we're at the dinner table, and I was talking to my little girls, and I said something about Greg Razor, and my two-year-old looks up, and she says, I love Greg Razor. So it happens at my house, it happens at work, it's all right. Greg Razor's a great guy. Yeah.
A lot of people peel out of here, though, and they leave replacements that aren't quite that impressive. You did well with leaving the state in good hands.
I think we upgraded there.
So we're just talking about it. I know you're doing some work in Kansas. First of all, what are you doing now? Let's get with that.
The most important thing is I'm trying to be the world's greatest dad. So that's the most important thing. And the second most important thing is the world's greatest husband. I think I'm doing better at the dad thing, so I've got some practice.
Well, doesn't that go hand in hand? Being a good dad means you're also a good husband, right?
That's what I thought, but apparently there are other duties.
Try to sell that on Valentine's Day.
I don't have kids yet, so that's why I'm that's a new.
When my wife listens, I'll have her text you, Becky.
Fantastic.
So I'm doing some lobbying on the Kansas side. I represent a business group that cares about early childhood education from a workforce development standpoint, and then I represent a foundation that's interested in breaking down some barriers to women in business and women in entrepreneurship. It's a lot of fun.
I had the best conversation with you one night, and I still think of you sometimes. You talked about how when you came home from the legislature on Thursdays, how your kids would run up to you and give you the big, like, legit, thrilled to see you hug. And I still get one from Millie to this day. She's 7, and I think about you sometimes when I get that hug. And I remember, yeah, it was a very sincere thing. So I'm very happy that you're getting to spend some time at home. But glad you decided to come down here this afternoon. We were just talking about the governor put together a commission to gut tax credits.
I saw that.
Now, he used tax credits.
Last
governor did that. Now, Donald Trump uses tax credits like he did in Indiana to save some jobs. Tax credits have been something that's very talked about, but now they've got a commission, all Republicans, oddly enough. John Lampe, the guy from the new director of revenue, who's actually from the same accounting firm that screwed up the Oscars, Pricewaterhouse.
I don't know that that's fair to connect him in that way. That's how you're introducing him to the world of the podcast?
They work at the same place. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I thought it was the executive producers. No offense to producers over here, Ben.
They blamed someone right quick over that.
Oh,
right?
They blamed the Pricewaterhouse guy. Yeah, he was tweeting.
They named him.
That's. I mean, I don't. I have actually just in advance of Donald Trump's election, I boycotted the Oscars the first 35 years of my life, in anticipation of how Hollywood would treat Donald Trump, and I continued the boycott this year of all award shows for things I don't care about.
You're a principled man.
I am
nothing
principled.
Else.
I'm actually
nothing
so
else.
Principled. I'm retroactively principled. They did so. The guy, I was listening to Howard Stern this morning. He was tweeting, and he got the envelopes mixed up. And so, yeah, I mean, I assume this guy, obviously, the director of revenue, has nothing in common with his former colleague. But Will Scharf's on there, smart guy.
Yeah.
I like Will. I think Will impresses most people he runs into. This is the interesting part. You got some career killer stuff on there. Andrew Koenig's on there. Does Andrew Koenig want to sign off on huge tax increases? Will Krause? Dan Hageman, I think Senator Hageman may be a good moderating voice on there. Elijah Haar, Holly Rader, that's a tough spot. Jay Barnes, he could be, if this podcast is interrupted, it's because we learned who got put forward to the governor as we're all waiting with bated breath to see who got put forward by the panel to the governor for the Supreme Court thing. But
I was going to check my text message to see if I got it, but the only person that would text me would be you. I guess I'm good. I can put my phone away.
No, here, you really were just bored as well.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Yeah. Like, okay, I don't know what I was getting into.
Through his Facebook.
Texting my wife to see what's for dinner. I'm not really excited.
Crack reporter Travis Zimpler, I think he's over the court now, all over the story. But, no, I think it's interesting. If you're Holly Raider, if you're Elijah Haar, Andrew Koenig, you have elections to go through again. Do you really want to sign off on a huge, probably the biggest tax increase in state history? Put yourself in their spot. Look at the, I always thought, Jeremy, you were faked because you could see it from the other guy's position. Mm-hmm. If you're Holly Raider, do you really want to sign off on the state's biggest tax increase in history?
Well, I think the devil's in the details probably for Holly and anybody else. Do you really see Holly that worried about a primary challenge after she passed Right to Work? I think she's looking like she's got a couple feathers in her caps, and maybe she's willing to spend some political capital.
Maybe you go to Cape County, though, and ask somebody what a Right to Work is. They probably think they don't have a right to work. They have a duty to work. I mean, it's an interesting thing to see. I think that's a good point, but I think that while I don't know that anybody that's not in a union knows what a right to work is, everybody knows what a tax increase is. Interesting thing. So over in Kansas, I saw they've had a lot of budget problems. You go over there for one session, it's like you got it solved.
That's right. I think there were a couple of folks that were working on it prior to my arrival. And
I just know you went over there and problem solved.
And then problems are solved. It's fascinating over there. The differences, you know, the political makeup is roughly two-thirds Republicans, a third Democrats, just like it is here. They've got a Republican governor. But you look at some House votes that happened last week over in Kansas. They passed on 1 year, they do a two-year biennium budget. So they did a two-year, $1 billion tax increase. To put that in comparison for the state of Missouri, that would be a $4 billion tax increase in the state. $4 billion from Missouri. So they did a tax increase. They did a vote to expand Medicaid. They had a vote to defund Planned Parenthood that failed with 77 no votes. And there are only 40 Democrats. So you've got 37 Republican House members that are voting for tax increases, Medicaid expansion, and to fund Planned Parenthood.
Now, Jeremy, you know healthcare policy. I kind of thought Trump would take Obamacare, shuffle the cards a little bit, rename it, and send it back to the states. The states like Missouri would take the money in a lean budget year, probably solve their problems. It hasn't happened yet.
No, you know, just like Donald Trump said, who knew that healthcare policy could be so complicated? It turns out that solving healthcare problems for the nation is slightly more complicated than can be solved in a 140-character tweet. I think that...
Well, Obama just looked back to history, took the Stalin approach, the Lenin approach, and said, just make other people pay for it, right?
I think he looked back to history to 1994 and said, this guy Bob Dole from Kansas came up with a really great health care plan. Let's do that. The largest...
Everybody gets bananas?
The bones of Obamacare is Dole Care. Bob Dole came up with it in the early 90s as the alternative to Hillary Care. The problem that the congressional Republicans are starting to have is that they no longer have the boogeyman in the White House to blame on it, and now they just have policy looking at them in the eye when the policy that they're looking at is their policy for the last 20 years.
Has there ever been a policy outside of maybe... There maybe has never been a public policy that's elected more Republicans than Obamacare. Fair point?
I think there were a lot of things that did that. I don't know that it was the policy.
Really? No, you're probably right about that, but I do think there's just a fundamental fact the public has rejected this when they've had the chance to, except for re-electing Barack Obama, probably the biggest way they could have. But at the state level in Missouri, folks have tried to reject it, and I think it puts policymakers in a real box when you can't do something politically that you need to do policy-wise. I kind of thought Trump would come in a little quicker and maybe give them some window dressing and some room to do it, but it looks like it's not going to happen for this budget cycle anyway.
Well, and I think the administration or so, when they try to do things quickly, it doesn't go very well for them.
That's true.
So it's probably good if they put a little more thought.
So what do you think of Donald Trump? What is Jeremy LeFevre, a guy that's worn boots as long as I have? What do you think of Donald Trump?
There's a smirk across Representative LeFevre's face.
Nah, I've seen him in his boots all the time.
What do I think of Don?
Yeah.
Don the Con? I think he's unfit to serve in that office. I think the people that he's brought in are dangerous for our democracy. That being said, I have an awful lot of faith in the institution of the United States Senate and in the checks and balances that our government provides. I just can't fathom that some of these really, really out there policies are going to get past a guy like John McCain and make it to the United States Senate.
Like what?
You never know.
Like what?
I think you heard him in his speeches talk about the religious test for entry into our country, and then people said, oh, that's just him talking. Well, then you hear Steve Bannon at CPAC say, well, when Donald Trump talks, that's policy. Well, which is it? Either he says stuff and you can't believe him, or his senior advisor says, when he talks, believe him. So if he tries to move something through, like a religious test, no way that's getting past a guy like John McCain. That's not getting past the United States.
Yeah, do you really think that's a serious public policy?
I
don't think it is.
I think the vast majority of his public policy ideas are not serious ideas. I don't think he knows what he's doing. And occasionally, things accidentally happen in his favor.
I think having a ban on people from Yemen, if the president believes they're a security threat, banning them for 90 days to reevaluate it, I just think regular Missourians, they're probably okay with that.
Okay. Unfortunately, we live in a republic and not a straight democracy exactly for that reason. You know, if you look back in our
history... So do you think he got
history,
elected because he's popular and a good politician, or do you think he got elected because he ran against a weak opponent?
I think he got elected because he ran against a terrible opponent.
Yeah.
He also received 3 million fewer popular votes than the other person, so...
Jeremy, there was a game played in San Francisco back in 2012. It rips my heart out to this day. We out-hit the Giants 11-8, and I think we had 5 more base runners total. We lost the game 2-1 because we scored less runs. Do you think it helps Democrats to try to relitigate how we've elected a president for 200 years?
No, I don't think the vast majority of Democrats are trying to relitigate the point that Donald Trump is not legitimately our president. He is legitimately our president, but it's also legitimate to say that the vast majority of Americans did not vote for him to be our president.
I thought what was interesting about this is I think the national popular vote is a good idea. I actually think what Donald Trump may have shown you is that there are a lot of people that live in red states that will correspond to a message that speaks to them. They do not vote because they do not care, or it's a preconceived thought that they're, if you're in, let's say you're in Eastern California, a lot of Republican votes in Orange County, they may not vote because they don't think it matters, but I think you saw, I do believe they're, what Republicans may be missing is there's a silent majority undervote of people that would vote for them if they thought it really mattered, and I think Trump had a way of going to the Rust Belt, talking to them. And I actually think, conversely to what I think the scoreboard would show, I think a national popular vote might benefit Republicans more.
I don't know if it would benefit Republicans or Democrats more. I think it would benefit democracy in America more.
Do you think it'd bind us together a little bit better if it was a popular vote where we all were equal? I think, look at France. It is a day that people celebrate, and it's a day they take off. It's a national holiday. To me, it's an interesting thing because I understand why a lot of people don't vote because they don't care. They don't think it matters. And I think there's a, if you really were in a national election where you were straight up, the whole country were in one big pool, I think it might bind us together in a nation that may be certainly drifting apart a little bit.
I think it's possible that it could certainly boost that civic pride that people have in voting and make that voting day a civic pride issue. And I think when we can get to that, I don't know that if we get more voters are going to vote Republican or Democrat or not, but I believe and I feel like I know that if the more people you have involved in the system, the better your product is. No matter what the end.
I think people intuitively think because of George W. Bush's election and Donald Trump's election, a national popular vote would help the Democrat more. And I think I get that. There's the logical big thing to look at. I just think there are people in rural America, maybe specifically, that don't vote because they didn't think it mattered. Donald Trump spoke to them, however he did it, and they voted this time. And my gut tells me that you take some of the Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan people, there's probably those same in Idaho, and there's probably the same thing in a Colorado, Wisconsin, wherever, that if you speak to people, they will come out and vote if they think it counts. I think maybe my take on it would be counterintuitive to the end and say I think there might be an undervote of Republican voters that don't vote because they think it's a foregone conclusion.
Whatever it is, bottom line is, I will take my group of Democratic voters up against anybody's Republican group of voters.
In a street fight.
Absolutely. Sharks versus Jets.
The snapping.
Greasers and the Socs. As long as everybody's got, as long as the access to the ballot is fair, open, and free.
I got a couple more questions. What do you think of the new governor?
You don't have a nickname for him like you did our president? Well, I'm disappointed.
I don't. You know what? So here's what I think about our new governor. This is what I've heard. You guys know me. I'm a kid guy. I love making sure that the kids are cared for. I don't want to give up anybody's secret conversations that they've had with the governor. But what has been told to me is the governor brought in somebody that I care and respect and look up to in the world of child welfare. I was scheduled to speak with the governor for 15 minutes. The governor spent an hour and a half with that individual, asking very detailed, in-depth questions about what can we do for kids in foster care and adoptive care, how can we help them. I've got another nonprofit that I work, I used to volunteer for CASA. They've spun off another thing. They're having some issues with some foster care stuff. I contacted the governor's office and said, hey, there's this issue that's happening in Kansas City with kids who are in foster and adoptive care. Can you meet with these people and figure out what's going on? I think it was like 24 hours later, somebody in the governor's office had those people down to his office in Jefferson City to talk about the issue and start figuring it out. I think the governor probably hasn't done as much as maybe I would like, probably you guys would like, in terms of talking to the media and getting stuff out. But my impression with the guy thus far is he's not well-versed in how government works yet, but he may get there.
Smart guy.
Clearly. Smart guy, and from the things I'm looking at, he's coming in here and trying to shake things up. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Are you surprised by Jason Kander's takeoff in national democratic politics?
Not
I know
even
you
a little bit.
Time. Yeah.
I want you to go back and look at the clips. Every time I've been on a podcast or a show, I've told you. I said, look at Jason, the rollout that he had and that ad. I think the last time I was on your show, we talked about, you know, Jason Kander, Abe Rakove, and Diana Kander are the three brightest.
You said it a long time.
Minds.
That's a very good point.
They still are. You look at what he's doing. He's speaking to audiences in Iowa before the DNC. I was honestly a little bit surprised he wasn't the rebuttal after the speech the other night. But I wouldn't be terribly surprised. I would be more surprised if he didn't, but I wouldn't be terribly surprised to see Jason Kander be in there on a rebuttal speech coming up here soon.
He makes the state look very good.
He makes the state look good. He makes Democrats look good. He's got the right message. He's folksy. He's got the Biden thing going for him. He's got a lot going for him. He's a war veteran, military intelligence. I would look for Jason Kander to be on this stage in 2020.
Is it fair to say that maybe nobody's made more out of a loss than him?
I don't know what he's made out of it. I think, you know.
Well, I mean, I think there's national Democrats know who he is now. Mm-hmm. And he's spun his loss into a positive almost. I think it's a really interesting and impressive feat of politics. Let me ask you this question, though.
Yeah.
You know him better than most people we're going to talk to personally. Do you think he is a national liberal figure or is he a Missouri candidate? And can you be both?
I think it's going to be so hard to be both.
Well, I think he fits the mold of a national liberal spokesman so well. And I hear what he says. I remember seeing the social media video. I didn't see a bunch of liberal stuff. I mean, he ran against an incumbent. He ran against it personally. I didn't see a liberal message articulated by Jason Kander very often. And I know his pitch and his spin, and it's very well done. That was not my impression of the Kander campaign, is we didn't win running to the middle. I don't know that he ran to the right, but I think he definitely ran against the only incumbent on the ballot. And, man, I think he's taken to national politics like a hand into a glove.
The people out there nationally, they love him.
Yeah.
I know a number of folks over in California and throughout the country that, you know, when I talk to them, oh, Missouri, Jason Kander.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they love him. He's great.
Can you do both? Could he be the person that appeals to that liberal wing of the party in California and can go get votes in California, Missouri?
Yeah. I do.
Really?
Because he's got the pedigree. He's got the military intelligence
background.
Is that
what saves him is that what makes that case possible, is the military background?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And quite frankly, voters have got really, really short-term memory. You know, he can do what he's doing right now with Let America Vote, and 3 years from now, you know, you start ramping up your message where I was in the military, and I don't like voter ID, and oh, by the way, did I mention I was in the military? You can make a campaign out of that, and I think people will be fine with it. And
we like to always thank the folks that make this podcast happen, Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. Want to thank them. Now it's time. You're back in the bowels of the Capitol here. It's time for 5 questions with Becky.
Yeah, we're in
hearing room two.
5 questions for Representative
Gentleman
Jeremy LaFavor.
Jackson.
Now, am I going to get 5 questions, or is there going to be a bonus round like Sylvie got?
Oh, so you listen to the podcast.
I'm a friend of the cat.
I can see bonus questions here.
Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Perfect. Okay, question 1. What do you miss most about the Missouri House?
I miss afternoon floor sessions and emerging issues executive sessions. That's
not
a very
the hearings,
specific
not
thing.
The all-night hearings, just
no,
the votes.
Just the votes. I loved working with Elijah Haar. We would have fun, and we would not agree on stuff, but I felt like it was a good process and a good product that we put out, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, usually you were running my clients through the ringer in those late-night emerging issues sessions, so thank you deeply for making me, you know, be better at debating my position.
People always used to ask me, when are you going to start voting with me? And I said, as soon as you get better clients. So.
Fair enough. I'll leave that there. Question 2. You're stranded on a desert island. What current member of the Missouri legislature do you want with you on that island?
Ice. Heat.
Oh, my gosh. I think I'm going to go with Justin Hill. I'm going Justin Hill.
Because he can pick fruit off tall trees.
He's quite a bit taller than I am. Yeah. And Justin was the first time I killed a wild turkey was with Justin Hill. So Justin,
you
is
never
fine.
Forget a moment like that.
No, you never forget
your first time.
A skill that would be useful on a desert island.
Right. I need him to be my hunter gatherer. He's bigger than I am. You know.
Yeah, you gotta wild dogs go after him first.
He's
right?
Enjoyable to be around.
You could have gave me a bunch of guesses. I would not have pulled Justin Hill.
Probably my last guess would have been Justin Hill.
I would not have pulled Justin Hill.
I'm a Justin Hill fan.
I'm a Justin Hill fan. Learning so many new things about former Representative Jeremy LaFavor. What? This is a softball for you to. You'll know. What vote did you make in the Missouri House during your time there that you would change your vote if you could do it over again?
You know, there were some education things that I don't know if I would change my vote. I go back and forth, but I'll give this one to you, Becky. I'll give you the Uber vote.
Thank you! That's what I wanted.
I'll give you Uber.
For our listeners, Jeremy LaFavor has confessed privately that was a terrible vote that he made, and he regrets it every day.
I wake up and think, son of a gun.
Well, I know.
Probably that weekend when you were getting an Uber to go home. You're like, yeah, actually, that was probably
right.
Uber.
Uber in Kansas City sure is nice.
I know, and we get an Uber.
What's funny is, in St. Louis, and you know the people, no one has any idea that's illegal. I guarantee you would just stop.
I would use the term regulatory gray area as the term as opposed to illegal.
Well, I think the county would say use the term illegal, but no one has a clue. I use it in the county. I mean, I don't like the government. Used it Sunday, actually.
No, good. Yeah, I mean, great. You probably gave somebody put money in their pocket, some Missourian that I was just trying to, you know, make ends meet. That's
we had a good time celebrating Steve Tilley becoming a grandfather, which still sounds weird to me. But there was the baby shower was Sunday. His daughters, who we always, a shout out to Steve down in Perryville. My God, what a tough night last night with the tornado. But probably more impactful to Steve is the fact he's going to be a grandpa in a few weeks. Yeah, his daughter is
having a baby. I bet that wasn't your standard baby shower if you were one of the guests and Steve Tilley is the host.
Yeah, this was the dude section. There was one that...
Is this the first baby shower you've ever been to?
Yes, you brought diapers to this one.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Well,
that's
yes, it is different because you brought diapers and you left in an Uber. So,
yeah, exactly.
It was different, yes.
Exactly. Okay, question 4. Jeremy LaFavor, Speaker of the House. What's the first legislative thing you get done?
I like MONA, Missouri Non-Discrimination Act. I think that's the first thing that we take across.
Do you know
the
people
line.
That have been fired because they're gay?
None of my personal friends have been fired for being gay.
Do you think that is and I ask this as an honest question. I don't, maybe it's because I'm younger, but I think it's clearly wrong and should be illegal. But do you think that is an issue that is impacting a lot of the gay community?
Yeah, I think it is.
Is it a thing in people's mind where they want to put them at ease with the protection, or is it that they see other people being fired and it's a mental stress?
You know, I don't know. You'd have to ask folks that deal with it more personally than I do. From my standpoint, I think it sends a message to large business, small business. You know, our commercial arena is interstate commerce. It's a global economy, and I think when you talk about recruiting top talent, staff, customers, those sorts of things, into an environment where they're accepting and welcoming of all people, I think that sends a better message to your workforce and to your staff and to your customers than the other way around.
Just like Right to Work. It's all about
crickets.
Wow. Just saying.
Well, you finished. Wasn't your bill?
Podcast.
Were you on the dais?
Ben Peters chiming in with the heat.
were you on the dais during the last day of session last year, and your bill was the last one the House voted on? Am I making that up?
That's right. I'm trying to remember what bill it was. Was it the lottery?
It may have been.
I think it was lottery bill. Yeah, they passed my lottery bill.
Yeah, I don't stop your life or anything. I know exactly how your last day went. Everybody was mourning. It was very troublesome.
They sent that
lottery bill. Nobody has picked that bill up.
Waiting for you to come.
Why is what's Ranger doing? What's he sitting on the job for?
Gosh, new people.
The question, who wins in a cage match? Barack Obama, Bill Clinton?
Barack.
Why?
Barack around the clock.
No, Bill Clinton in his prime.
Bill's a scrapper.
No, Bill, I think Bill's a scrapper.
Barack in his day was part of the Chewing Gang.
What is that?
It was a drug dealing gang. Slick Willie was just old.
Is that a fact?
Okay, I mean, if that's the case, I go Obama too then.
It was in one of his books.
I still think, you know, Bill Clinton's got old man. Bill Clinton's got old man strength. That's worth.
You know, actually, I think it could be a look
Obama
at this.
Obama pot smoking chum game. I'm telling you.
Oh God,
Producer Ben Peters coming in with his second heat drop of the day.
ABC
News. What are you saving for the end of the podcast, Ben, to bring heat? That's well done.
Obama's taking Slick Willie down.
Sure. I disagree. I go Bill Clinton all day.
What I love is
his wife just lost the presidency. He's pissed.
Now, cage match between Barack and Hillary?
Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary all day.
All day long.
Hillary all day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'd pick Hillary over most.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be finding out of that cage.
Anger is an energy,
damn,
guys.
Wow. She got that Twitter account. Boy, it's all just mean, bitter.
It's so dark.
Boy, jeez. I sort of respect it, you know, because I'm a petty person, so I sort of
I know that about you.
Yeah, I sort of like how she does it, but I mean, she does not look like the dinner party guest right now. At all.
No, she probably is like your drunk aunt that gets wasted. Everyone's like, we need to put Aunt Hillary to bed. She's had a bad day.
The one that you don't want coming over on Thanksgiving.
It's true.
Becky Loman.
Catalyst Group. I personally disagree with you. I think Hillary Clinton looks wonderfully soft and
warm.
I would love to have dinner
so
with her.
Warm.
You guys,
really
she
nice.
Lost the presidency she thought was in the bag. I don't think that's an insult. I think that's the reality of the situation.
That's a fact, Jack. Can you imagine how awkward it was for those people who found her in the woods when they were walking around? When they wanted to be
two different times.
Hey,
they're it's like Hillary Clinton, you're treating her like a delicate little baby.
It's like when you see a senator that you like after his bill got killed, and the initial reaction would be like, hey, senator! But you're like,
ooh.
Yeah.
Awkward.
You're like, awkward. You do the sad, how's it going?
How's it going?
You do the sad.
It's really tough around here, huh?
Yeah.
Hang in there, pal.
You guys are pretty good at
and
that.
And then you run away to Grandin, and you're like, I hope I don't see him again.
What a loser. Did you see the look on
his face? That is why she's the 2016 podcast coach of the year.
I don't do the, I feel so sorry for you face very well. I think that
you do.
Do I?
Yeah.
I personally felt like you felt sorry for me. Maybe you just did.
No, that was sincere. I feel like you said
Ben and I feel like you feel sorry for us once a week, and we're glad you come back. I think.
Oh my God, I'm like a real human with emotions. Nice.
Next week, though, we have to bring in the 2017 Mother of the Year, Rachel Herndon.
Absolutely.
We got to get her to come back to the Capitol.
I got to have lunch with her on Wednesday.
Nice.
Harper spit up all over me.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Yep.
It was worth it. It was
you
worth
know
it.
What that
I
guess means.
Rachel got to feed herself, and I felt like that was a very exciting moment for her. What I could do with her friend.
Yep.
When they spit up on you, and I'm like, I have to go to the Capitol. No, not that contagious.
That's the cure for it right there.
A baby
yeah.
spitting up on
yeah.
you? Yeah. I imagine other things.
Well, there's other
and
things
I'm
going to
be like, here's this.
Yeah.
I'm going to
go. Here's your
yeah.
I'm going to go count my money.
We want to always thank the St. Louis Chamber of Commerce for Public Services Executive Producer of the podcast, Ben Peters. Thank you for bringing heat. Choom Gang, nice. Mm. Representative LeFevre, former representative, thanks for coming back. We look forward to maybe we'll see a little more of you next session.
You never know.
Yes,
never
yes,
know.
Yes,
maybe.
Yes.
Could be. Tell your friends.
Well, if you're going to lobby against me, I don't know about that, actually.
He didn't change his number.
I don't think we can actually talk about any of this technically until July 1st.
Tony Duggar figured out a way.
He quit early.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I think
we can talk about it.
Sure.
Okay.
I just maybe pick up a hint, maybe veto session, see you around.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Jeremy's doing auto-win.
The problem with veto sessions now is there's not going to be a whole lot of... There's not any leverage anymore.
Yeah. Well, you don't know, though. Send
yeah,
it
you never
your
know.
Place.
You never know.
For Ben Peters, Representative LeFevre, Becky Lohman, always want to thank our sponsors, the Public Service and the Chamber of Commerce, Scott Fun. We will see you next week on the Hashtag Mullidge Podcast.